Amen. Well, let's get started. You ready? If you brought your Bibles, and you know, I tell you, whenever I'm doing a session, what should you do? You should always bring your Bible. We're going to talk about health. And you can start a clock. For the sake of time, I'm going to try to give you the scriptures I want you to turn to up front. And then we'll quote some scriptures and try to get this information to you. Say health. The thing that I'm doing on this series on finances on Sundays and Wednesdays, what I'm getting from the Spirit of God is that we need to be more educated in the financial arena. In fact, I'm trying to debate what I'm going to teach tomorrow, what I taught Wednesday. But I think that when it comes to health, the stewardship or the management of my health, my physical body, is just as important to God as the stewardship and the management of my spirits or my spiritual life. We are extremely committed, I believe, to our spiritual well-being. But what we have concerns about, and I believe the Spirit has concerns about, is how committed are we to the stewardship and the management of our physical bodies, and whether we understand how we manage it and handle it is a requirement from God as much as our spiritual well-being. And that's what that text tells us there. That we can actually sin against our bodies in the way that we sin against our spirits. Now I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 8. We'll look at another text, then look at one more text, and then we'll just kind of take off from there. In Matthew chapter 8, because when we talk about health, and we're dealing primarily with the health of our bodies, we talk about the health of our bodies, there's a spiritual side, and then there's a natural side. Spiritual, natural. Here's a text that I want to share with you that you're very familiar with in our church concerning the spiritual side of our health. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. It says that when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. She was laid. Fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Then verse 16, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils or demons. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So let's begin at verse 17, move up to verse 16, and then look at this particular situation as it relates to the health of our bodies. From a spiritual standpoint, if we look at verse 17, we realize that healing is a part of the plan of redemption. Scripture says that Jesus took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, which simply means that at the same time that Jesus bore our sins so that we could have right standing with God, the scripture says he took our infirmities or he took our weaknesses so that we could have wholeness. He took our sicknesses so that we could have health. So from a spiritual standpoint, we have a right as believers to have a healthy body, to live a long life, healthy and strong body. He paid for it. Now, in verse 16, we see in his ministry that a large percentage of the time, his ministry was geared to the healing of the sick. Scripture says he healed all that were sick, which implies that there was no one that he ever confronted that he said no to. He always wanted everybody to be healthy. He wanted everybody to be well. He healed all that were sick. Then when we move up to verses 14 and 15, the Bible says that Peter's mother-in-law was physically ill. She had a fever in that she was laid and sick of a fever, which implies she was incapacitated, which implies that she couldn't do anything. Now, Jesus in the house, but she couldn't do anything. Jesus had knees, but she couldn't do anything. So if our bodies are incapacitated, if they can't function, if we have dysfunctioning bodies, then we're not going to be able to serve God to the level that we're not going to be able to serve our families. We're not going to be able to serve the church. We're not going to be able to serve the kingdom because we're incapacitated. So the scripture says she was laid sick of a fever, so she couldn't do anything. So Jesus laid his hands on her, healed the girl, and the scripture says she got up and she ministered to Jesus. It's when our bodies are healthy. We all know that when we're physically ill or have pain in our body, it causes us to be introverted. It's hard to think about anybody else when you got pain in your body. It's hard when you're dealing with issues in your physical body. Just so difficult to do that. So I want you to look at the spiritual side. We saw that. We claim that. We confess that. We believe that. But turn over to Philippians chapter 2. And you won't have to turn anymore. I'll just quote and we'll look at different scriptures. There is a natural side to it, to having a healthy body. There is a Philippians chapter 2. There is a natural side to it. Philippians chapter 2. This was a guy. Epaphroditus was a minister of the gospel. Active in ministry, good person, loved the Lord, God heard his cry. Yet the Bible says he was sick and almost died. And I want to bring your attention to this particular situation because it's not enough to just be saved. It's not enough to just love Jesus. It's not enough to just be serving God. We have to manage our bodies. So verse 25 says, yet I suppose, Philippians 2:25, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard and that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick near unto death. He almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such a reputation. Well, we know that he recovered, and the scripture says that God had mercy on him. But I want to clarify something you're thinking. I don't want you to think that somehow God just said, okay, I'm just going to have mercy on you. And I'm going to heal you. Because if that's the case, then we have to ask the question, why it doesn't have mercy on other folk? And just heal those other folk. I don't believe it was just arbitrarily God decided I'm going to have mercy on you. I think he made some adjustments. I think that he made some adjustments in his life. I think that's released the mercy of God in his life. Not that just God arbitrarily, because God is no respected person. He loves everybody. Sometimes we need to just make adjustments. Doesn't mean we're bad people. We just need to make adjustments. So look at verse 30. It says, because for the work of Christ, he was near unto death. So we got the reason right there. Because of the work for Christ. But it says, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. And I think those words, not regarding his life, are critical to understanding why he became sick and almost died. That's our scriptural text, because we wanted to show you, on the one hand, there was a spiritual side. This text has to do with that natural side. So let's talk about natural laws that pertain to health. That's my thing that I share with employees and I'm sharing with you. Just out of love, God loves you and I love you. And I know that there are other reasons why people die. So don't get theological on me. I know that there are reasons why people die. But it's no fun at all to be in my position. It's just no fun at all to be in my position and have to go to funerals of members and people that you know love God. It ain't fun at all. I mean, it ain't nothing about that that makes me excited. So I think that what the Spirit of God was doing was just trying to rest our attention so at least we'd do our part. You know, this ain't all it is to it, but we want to at least do our part when it comes to taking care of ourselves. So there's a natural side and a spiritual side. So I got a question. Did God make Epaphroditus sick? No. Another question, did the devil make him sick? Now, you hesitated on me. See, you kind of hesitated there. Did the devil make him sick? Okay, now we got, I wish we had 2 hours, because I'll really spend some, I'll work this. If I had 2 hours at my bar, I would work this, because I think you're both right. It was the devil, but it wasn't the devil. It was, but it wasn't. How could that be? You know, how did it can be? You know, it was, but it wasn't. Okay. The scripture says to not give Satan place, doesn't it? Which means there's a human element, but there's a spiritual element, right? If we give him place, open the door for him, surely he will do what he needs to do. But that being said, we have to open the door. And here's a question. God created our bodies to function a certain way. Right? And move the devil out. Our bodies just function a certain way. Because God created our bodies to need certain things, to have certain things, to release certain things. So to that degree, it's not the devil. It's how our body functions. Does that make sense to anybody? Okay, now listen at this. How did Epaphroditus give Satan place, or how did he mismanage his body? Come on, talk to me. The scripture tells us not regarding his body. And one translation says reckless disregard for his life. Reckless disregard for his life. What he was doing was honorable, the work of the Lord. But he was a workaholic. In other words, he was overworked. He was putting too much on his body. He was not managing his body, even though what he was doing was good, but he had a reckless disregard for his body. So the boy could have went to heaven and we'd have said all these wonderful things about him, but now watch this, he'd have went to heaven prematurely. He'd have had an untimely death. So let's talk about laws that pertain to health. There are natural laws that govern the physical body, just like there are spiritual laws that govern our spiritual walk with God. In the same way that it's wrong to violate spiritual laws, it is wrong to violate natural laws. Believers are being destroyed for violating natural laws. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." One study says that 90% of all sickness is related to the violation of natural laws. Poor eating habits, undisciplined lifestyle, obesity, lack of exercise. Sickness and premature death are in most cases related to the violation of natural laws, not spiritual laws. Now, it doesn't answer every question. So I don't want you to put me in a box and say, start putting people in this. In other words, don't take an individual and put it in this. But I want you to listen at this statement. Sickness and premature death are in most cases, not all, but most cases related to the violation of natural laws, not spiritual laws, which means a person could die and be very spiritual. So when we see a person, and you know, we're at a funeral, and, well, how did that person die? And the moment what we think about is the person was so godly, right? Well, you can violate natural laws just like you can violate spiritual laws and undermine your destiny as it relates to long life and health. So let's look at some, at least three laws that we'll look at, natural laws. Law number one, you reap what you sow. Say that. Now make it personal. Galatians 6, 7, and 8, we all know it. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So we reap what we sow. That is a spiritual law, but it's also a natural law. And what we're dealing with now is natural law. We're not just dealing with spiritual stuff. We're dealing with natural law. We reap what we sow. So we reap what we sow as it relates to our eating habits. Whether they're good eating habits or bad eating habits, we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow as it relates to exercise. Whether we're committed and disciplined to exercise, whether we're not committed, not disciplined to exercise, we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. I'm talking to myself right now. I'm going to talk to Mike Moore right now. We reap what we sow as it relates to rest and sleep. Because I got to do much better when it comes to rest and sleep. So if we are consistent in getting the amount of rest and sleep we reap what we sow. If we're not consistent, I remember my dad was... He was a good man. He just couldn't stay awake for nothing. I mean, he's just a hard-working man, And anytime we sit down to watch television, he couldn't last but a minute. Next thing you know, he just like that. He just couldn't. I personally believe that he worked his body to the point where he got to a point where his body just started taking that rest. And the deceptive thing about it is that sometimes when you're younger, you don't realize you're sowing. Because you can manage certain things when you're younger and you don't always realize that you're sowing toward a future. And I'm convinced that all that work and no rest that he was sowing in his younger years that he didn't even pay much attention to, he ended up reaping in his ulcerate stomach, not managing stress, not having a way to manage stress. So in his older age, couldn't keep anything on his stomach. Some of that is progressive. It's not, you know, instantaneous. And so sometimes we don't know what we're doing, but we do reap what we sow. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow, but we reap what we sow. Our outlook on life, whether it's positive or negative, we end up reaping what we sow. Our lifestyle, and you know I have to touch all my bases, so when I said this, some of you may gasp and say, oh, I would never, but you know you got all kind of folk. So our lifestyle, whether it's alcohol or drugs or cigarettes or promiscuity or whether it's moral, clean, and free of destructive habits, we reap what we sow. We're still trying to get everybody off them cigarettes. Well, you reap what you sow. Over a period of time, you reap what you sow. So if we're not careful, we can be sowing a lot of bad stuff and then get down the road, and now we got to use our faith to undermine all the seeds that we were sowing. Can we use it? Yes, we can. Should we use our faith? Absolutely. But I'm just saying there still is a principle that we reap what we sow. That's the first one. I'm going to look at three with you. The second one, the second natural law that we need to be cognizant of and embrace is you are what and how you eat. You are what and how you eat. And at Faith Chapel, we love us some eating. It should be a core value that we put. Hey, and we just, and now we got Eric and different ones, and they good cook, and Mike, and they good cooks, man. I mean, they can do their thing. And so sometimes the meals they be sending over there. See, our flesh, you sow to your flesh, and of your flesh you reap what? Corruption. And sometimes our flesh just wants some. We don't care what the doctor said. We don't even care what our body says, because oftentimes our bodies give us signals. So you are what and how you eat. The result of what you become physically is based upon what and how you eat. Your body needs good fuel like a car does. A car engine is made to function on a particular type of fuel in a particular ratio and proportion. The folk tell you. You going to buy that big old luxury car, the folk done told you. You got to put a certain kind of, well, I know about this guy kind of gas. You don't need that car. Do what them folk tell you to do. Do what them folk tell you to do. They put it on the thing. This car does not take this kind of fuel. Put the kind of fuel in it. If you use the fuel that the operating manual states is necessary for peak performance, your car will give excellent long-term service. But if you decide to put the wrong fuel into the engine, excessive wear and deterioration will occur. The body cannot function as it should on the wrong fuel, the wrong food. Medical scientists and nutritionists tell us that our body consists of about 125 trillion cells. They also tell us that our bodies are in a constant state of change. Old cells are dying and must be replaced by new healthy cells. The building material of these new cells is taken from the food that we eat. So if we have cells that are dying, new cells that are regenerating, the building material for these new cells come from the food we eat, the liquid we drink, and the air we breathe. What we eat determines whether the old cells will be replaced with strong, healthy cells or weak cells. In other words, many diseases, diabetes, high blood pressure, cancer, heart disease, strokes, etc., are directly related to diet. Directly related to diet. There's a connection between the food we eat and our general health. Some foods are better than others. They have greater nutritional value. There are basically four food groups. Number one, fruits and vegetables. Come on, lift your hands up and say, I'm going to eat fruits and vegetables. Whether you like them or not. Doesn't make any difference whether you like them or not. We need to eat fruits and vegetables. Come on, let's lift our hand up again. I will eat. Fruits and vegetables. Number two, whole grain. They're basically four food groups, whole grains and breads, with emphasis on wheat bread and bran cereal, which provide fiber. Fiber prevents constipation and lowers cholesterol. Third food group is milk group, with emphasis on low-fat milk, which includes low-fat cheese, ice cream, or yogurt. Now, I had to make some adjustments. If nothing more than you making some adjustments and making tweaks, and I think we should all be constantly making tweaks. Everybody should be making adjustments. Here's one adjustment I began to make. I started drinking skim milk. Or when I first started talking about, because I would drink that, what you call the whole milk? Oh, my goodness, you know. Oh, that was, I felt like I was drinking water. It was like I was drinking cut white water. I said, I don't know how anybody could do this. I don't know how anybody could drink this stuff. It, my goodness, no. Here's what I learned is certain things can grow on you. Remember, if you sow to your flesh, your flesh reap. So the spirit reap life. So some things your flesh ain't going to want. Now, I don't know why all the best food seem to be fattened. Maybe when we get to heaven, we can eat anything we want to. But right here in the earth, we can't. And there are some things our flesh don't like, but need. Our bodies need. You understand that? But our flesh don't want it. So what I did, I just started drinking it because the folks say it's better. And now I got to the point where I love skim milk and all that kind of stuff. I wouldn't even want to have that other stuff. So you can train yourself to make adjustments. Fourth food group is meat and legumes, with emphasis on lean cooked meats, fish, chicken, lamb, turkey. Fish, chicken, lamb, and turkey. And you know lamb is all right because Jesus ate lamb. In fact, I love lamb. Some meats are better than others. You agree with that? Leviticus 3:17 says, eat neither fat nor blood. Now, we know that we are not under the old covenant and all law that, but some of those instructions that he gave were not just legalistic. They was dietary. They were not just being legalistic. They were for their dietary well-being. So that Leviticus 3 talks about eating neither fat nor blood. So this speaks about not eating the fat of animals and not eating raw meats. So America's worst killer disease. Let's take a survey. What are the four top killer diseases in America? Give me one. Heart disease. Diabetes. Cancer. High blood pressure ain't on my list. Strokes. The American worst killer disease are heart disease, cancer, strokes, and diabetes. And they all share a common root. Harmful accumulation of fats in the body. Harmful accumulation of fats in the body. Hamburgers. Now, we're not talking about you can't eat a hamburger, and I want to get in that part. But we're just throwing out some fatty foods. And I ate some of that bacon today, but bacon. Sausages, all food high in fat. In Leviticus 24:41-43, Jesus ate broil fish and honeycomb. So fish, chicken, lamb, and turkey, lean cooked portions, are low in fat and cholesterol and rich in protein, potassium, vitamins, and minerals. Vegetables and fruits are better than junk food, fast food, and sweets. Water is better than coffee, tea, and soft drinks. And I'll say this. If you are here and say, well, I just don't drink much water, you must make that adjustment. If you continue, it's not no negative statement on me, and you can't throw scripture at me now. Don't be coming throwing scripture at me. I know himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Your body has to have water. Well, I don't like water. I didn't either. So to your flesh, if your flesh reap corruption. So I didn't like water. I wasn't drinking water. I was drinking sodas. Them 3-liter sodas. Dumping it all in my body and not drinking water. Just dumping. You could do the same thing with coffee. You can do the same thing with tea. You can just dump it in your body. You keep dumping it in your body because you don't like water. And my body began to respond to that. So the flesh of corruption. I got to the point where I was struggling urinating. You know, I had to go to the doctor and get myself together because I wasn't drinking. It was years ago, I wasn't drinking water. So because my flesh had become so addicted to sodas, I had to do something drastic. I had to fast it. Doctor didn't tell me to do it. I knew I was struggling with them sodas. So I fasted it for 1 year, didn't drink a soda. Wouldn't drink a soda for a whole year. Just wouldn't let my flesh have it for a whole year. And I got to the point after that year where I could take it or leave it. Like right now, I could take it or leave it. Do you drink a soda sometime? Yeah, I drink a soda sometime. But if you're doing the studies on it, you'll notice that it takes a long time for your liver to filter out sodas in your body. So if you're drinking a whole lot of sodas, you need to make some adjustments. Because you could be setting yourself up down the road for challenges that God never intended for you to have. So water is better than coffee, tea, and soft drinks. Coffee, tea, and soft drinks have no nutritional value. Water, at least 8 ounces a day. And I heard from some reliable sources, it's the least you drink. Not the most, the least you drink is 8 8-ounce glasses daily. It regulates water, regulates your body temperature, carry waste products from the body, assist in purifying of the system by aiding in the cleansing of blood. Now, and you know, we're trying not to be gross or nothing like that. But if you're not having regular bowel movements, that's a problem. That is a problem. If you're not having regular bowel movements, you should be having bowel movements every day on a regular basis. Like you're going days without having a bowel movement, you need to drink more water. And if that is a persistent problem with you, you ought to go to the doctor. You need to go to the doctor, let them check you out because you need to be having bowel movements. You need to discard that. But on a personal level, you need to increase your water. You need to drink more water. Not only are we what we eat, we're how we eat. How you cook your food. And I said this when we were having with the employees. You know, I wasn't dealing with no racism stuff like that. But you know, we don't eat good. We know we like that fried food. Now, if you got yourself together, I ain't talking to you. But you know, most of us we don't want no broil, nothing, no bait, nothing, no grit. We want it fried, baby. And even our vegetables, there ain't no nutritional value because we get all of it out of it. We cook it out. I mean, everything. And then when we eat something, it's not quite done. Because we don't want no movement. It ain't done. And we take a carrot and a little crisp or something like that. Oh, I can't eat that. I can't eat that right there. When really it's better for you that eat like this. So not only are we what we eat, we're how we eat. How you cook your food, how you chew your food, talking to myself now. Because I got to learn to chew my food better. But I picked up a habit as a kid. And so sometimes, and I'll mention that in a moment, a lot of our eating habits are related to the way we were brought up. My parents always rewarded me when I did good stuff. I mean, if I made good grades, they always rewarded me. If I did clean up the house, and I would clean up the house and iron all mama's shirts, because I knew what they were going to do if I did that. Man, if they come home, that linoleum floor, that pine saw, you smelling it through the house. Shine them floor, that mop and glow, put that mop and glow on them floor. Iron up all her shirts. It's McDonald's time, baby. I know it's McDonald's time. And so they just like to see you eat. My mom and dad, they just love to see you eat. I'm raising the only child. They put me back in that back seat, fill her up, man. Eat much as you want to. And I discovered that the faster I ate, the more I could eat. So I'm not even swallowing this stuff. I'm not even chewing this stuff. I'm swallowing the food. And Pete, she stays on me. My wife, Pete, she stays on me now. But, man, you ain't chewing. You swallowing the food. And so I'm trying to learn to chew my food. It will help you with your digestion. Like, oh, my stomach, my chest hurting me so bad. Well, you know, you swallowing food. That's what your teeth for. You got teeth to help you with that. Working and eating is not good. If you eat at your desk and work, you working and eating, that's not good. Eating late is not good. Some Christians are digging their own graves with their fork. You may want to write that down. Some Christians are digging their own grave with their fork. Dietary eating habits are learned as a child. Many health problems, cancer, heart disease, dental disease, are linked to dietary patterns established in childhood. Many Christians are shortchanged by convenience decisions. Your children's future are dependent upon your decisions. You spend a lifetime developing your current diet and eating habits, and you're not going to totally change overnight. So change little by little. God's work plus common sense plus discipline equals good health. Let me give you that formula again. God's word plus common sense plus discipline equals good health. God's word plus common sense plus discipline equals good health. Now, I got about 19 minutes that I want to take to talk about the third law that I want to look at, and that is overeating leads to being overweight. Overeating leads to being overweight. But let's take a stretch break. Don't leave, just stand. Come on, let's stand. I was told that I need to get up from my desk. Anybody work at a desk all day? Okay. So you need to get up from your desk and stretch. Get it up. Good, sit down. I've been trying to do that more, because you sit at the desk all the time. You need to get up from it and stretch. Okay, let's talk a little bit. Talk a little bit in the 17 minutes that I have about the third law. What was first law? Natural law. We reap what we sow. What was the second one? We are what and how we eat. Here's the third law, and it will be my part. Overeating leads to being overweight. Overeating leads to what? I won't turn to it, but 1 Samuel 4, 17 through 18 talks about Levi was overweight. He was a leader, but he was overweight. Now, let me say this so when I get into this, it won't sound like I'm pushing in one direction. You can be slim and not healthy. Slim and not in shape. Okay? So remember that. If you eat more calories, all things being equal, if you eat more calories than you burn up, these calories turn into fat. That's just natural. If you eat more calories than you burn out, it turns into fat. Now, listen at this statement. This is the qualifier. There may be physiological reasons for weight gain, and we must believe God for healing. So as I talk about weight, I'm talking in terms of food consumption. I'm talking about when we eat and how we eat. But for some people, there are physiological reasons why they gain weight. Now, you need to talk with a doctor about that. You need to get a diagnosis about that, and whatever they give you instructions on, follow those instructions, but that's where you put your faith on that. Don't just leave it in the doctor's hand. Put your faith on that condition. I'm not dealing with the physiological reasons. I'm dealing with not burning enough calories, and because of that, we gain weight. So why is obesity an issue? Obesity makes one more susceptible to sickness and disease. Any doctor will tell you that. Any doctor will tell you that the more weight you have on your body opens you up to the chance of diseases and sickness. The extra weight puts a strain on the heart. The extra weight puts a strain on the heart. The extra weight causes other parts of the body to have to work harder. Obesity gives place to the devil. Four reasons for weight gain, other than the physiological, is eating too much. Some people are eating too much. Number two, eating the wrong foods. Some people are not eating too much. You can't look at an overweight person and say, well, that person ate too much. Sometimes it's eating the wrong foods, foods that are have large quantities of fat and large quantities of sugar. The third reason for weight gain is eating at the wrong time. Late at night, black calories are calories consumed late with no chance of burning them off. And preachers, we struggle with that late night stuff. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, preachers, we struggle with that. Because a lot of times we minister and then we and when you minister, it's a lot of energy that goes when you minister. I mean, you're ready to do some eating. Once you finish ministering, and a lot of times if you minister at night, I come down here we finish up Bible study. By the time I stand in that line could last a while. Then you chill down. By the time you get back in the back, then I drive 45 minutes or longer to get home. By the time I get settled in, you're still preaching. If you know anything about that, you're still preaching. Don't feel like you can just jump into bed at that because you're still trying to come down. So you're talking about 10, 11 o'clock. And it's easy to, I gotta eat something. So you're eating at 11 o'clock, it can be challenging for you. And I don't deal with maybe what some folk deal with, but the older I've gotten, I'm having to manage my midsection. I guess nobody. I mean, I ain't getting nobody helped the preacher out on that. Nobody helped the preacher out on that. But I got this commitment that I will always be able to look down and see my toes without bending over. Yeah, and it may be vain to some of y'all, but I got some suits and clothes I want to stay. Hey, listen. I won't be wearing my clothes, you know what I mean. And I'm just like y'all, whenever y'all have a bad, should I tell y'all my secret? When y'all have a bad hair day, what y'all do? Huh? You wear them hats, don't you? Well, when I have a bad stomach day, I pray for cold weather. Hey, because when it get cold, you can layer it up, buddy. You got all them layers and stuff like that. You know, when it's hot, you show too much. But I noticed that as I've gotten older, and when I went on that last cruise, I realized that one, the black issue, and then one, the male issue, because I saw some bellies on that last cruise. Hey, woo! You talking about some bellies. I saw some bellies on that cruise. Hey, I was getting ready to eat one of them cupcakes. Guy came by and said, "That's all right." That's all right. No, man, leave that cupcake alone. No! And you get out there on that deck. So I just want y'all to know, I may not feel everything y'all feel, but I'm working to keep myself together, because, you know, I realize my stomach want to go in another direction. And sometimes it does it quite quickly, too. I'm just thinking, Jesus, thank God for fasting. Fasting helped the brother out. Fasting helps me out a whole lot. But anyway, eating too much, eating the wrong foods, eating at the wrong time. And then a fourth reason for weight gain is eating good foods cooked the wrong way. And we're back to that fried food thing. Give you some quick tips. Number one, you got to believe that you have temperance. Galatians 5:22 through 23 says you have self-control, so you have to believe you got it. Number two, you have to slow down and eat to satisfy your need, not to stuff your stomach. And because of number one, you can do this. Now, you have to start practicing some discipline. Now, watch this. When you feel yourself getting full, stop. Practice not allowing yourself to get full or not eating everything on your plate, even though mama told you eat all that food. Practice not eating everything on your plate. Don't go back for thirds. Seconds should be smaller than first. If you're going back for a second, it should always be smaller than your first. This is for people eating too much. Stopping before you're full develops temperance in you. And sometimes I'll do it. You know, I went from popcorn. Y'all already know I like popcorn. I love popcorn. So I have to try to work that popcorn. Sometimes I've done all kinds of things. I fasted the popcorn for a year, but that wasn't the Lord. I know it wasn't the Lord, so I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again, because that wasn't God. go a whole year without popcorn. That was not the Lord. So I decided I ain't gonna never do that again. So I fluctuated between trying to go on the weekends, and then I tell myself certain seasons, like football season, basketball season, I splurge a little more. So I got all kind of mental stuff I go through. Then I like them Lay's potato chips. So I try to count them out at night. You know, I put five in my hand. Hey, peace out, tell all my business, but I do tell all my business. Just like a little kid sometime, I put five. Lex is right there trying to get one of them. She wants some of them. Then I take one of them. You know how the potato chip fold over? Break it in half. And lick it. Chew it slow. chew it slow. And then if Pete walked by and I got him on the thing and she grabbed one, I said, no. Go in there and get your own. No. But you, whatever it takes for you to start practicing some temperance, you got to practice some temperance. You got to tell yourself you can't have nothing else. When you put the ice cream in, don't fill it all up. Some of y'all don't like none of this I'm talking about right now. Create a safe eating environment. Remove the foods that give you the most trouble, trigger foods. Remove the foods high in fat and sugar. And I think fasting is a good thing to develop temperance. All jokes aside, I think it's a good thing to fast. You don't have to fast all day. You can fast one meal. What you're doing is training yourself. Train yourself. Now, unless you got some kind of medical reason why you have to eat every meal, if there's some medicine you have to take, go ahead and eat your food, take your medicine. I'm not talking about that. All things being equal, every Christian needs to practice fasting. And don't go 20 days. Just take you one meal. Say, I'm going to fast. I'm not going to eat this meal. It'd be great if you do it, not the night meal. That'd be great if you can learn to do that. Not a rule, not a law, but you need to start telling your body what it can't have, not just letting it have everything it wants. And now you're practicing stop the negative flow in your life, thoughts, attitudes, and words. Thoughts like, I don't want to waste this food. I got to get my money's worth. You know how you go to a restaurant and food line and you feel like I got to get my money's worth? You got to stop that. Attitudes. Who do you think you are telling me I could die prematurely? That's a bad attitude. Because really, to be honest with you, I just love you. I'm not trying to. It's just love. It ain't like I'm throwing off on you. Anything like that. The Spirit of God led us. I know lots of people who live long and are overweight. So you got a bad attitude. I know people who are skinny and die prematurely. You got a bad attitude. Why are you picking on us and embarrassing us in front of folk? You got a bad attitude. It's easy for you to say that with your skinny tail. You got a bad attitude. You got a bad attitude. Words like, I can't lose weight. Words like, I tried everything and nothing works. Words like, I'll be fat all my life. Words like, my parents were overweight. You got to get the negative flow out of your heart and out of your mouth. Consistent exercise program or regimen. Destroy your golden calves. Here's what I mean by golden calves. When you're anxious and under stress, do you eat more? When you're anxious or under stress, do you eat more? Do you eat as a form of medicating some old wounds or unresolved issues? Sometimes there are underlying emotional issues leading to compulsive behavior, depression, loneliness, idleness, disappointment, low self-esteem, failure, abuse, anxiety, fear, stress, guilt, anger, etc. Maybe the real problem is not what you're eating, but what's eating at you. When the going gets tough, we stuff. Food is your golden calf. Turning to food for emotional support. Listen to the statement. Turning to food for emotional support is idolatry. And here's a final tip. Give yourself time to succeed and make room for failure on the way. Give yourself time to succeed and make room for failure on the way. Forget quick fixes, instant solutions. Permanent change requires more time. Trying to obtain quick results often lead to burnout. Get rid of the all or nothing idea. Rejoice at small changes and don't despise small beginnings. Set small goals. Don't compare yourself to others. Don't give up if you fail along the way. Thomas Edison said, "The greatest human weakness lies in giving up too soon." I think all of us, not all of us, but maybe most of us have areas we got to work on. If nothing more than when the day is over, you take your health more seriously. You make adjustments. It's easy for us to make excuses. Personally, I'm trying to be more consistent. I had someone talk to me about detoxing my liver. So Pete and I are on this 6-month thing, detox our liver. They told me I needed to do some more weight training. Never done that before, so now I'm trying to do my little weight training. One guy asked me, "How much you picking up?" I said, "Man, let's not talk about that." He wanted to look at my little list they gave me. I wouldn't show that boy my list. Ain't nowhere in the world I'm going to show him how much weight I'm lifting right now. I embarrass myself. So you have to just start where you are. Don't compare yourself to anybody else and make whatever adjustments you can make. But it's not enough for us to confess and believe over here if we're not doing something in the natural over here. Amen. Good.